Hello, welcome back to True Tales from Harrods podcast. My name is Viv McSweeney, Head of Employee Experience and Internal Comms here at Harrods, and I'm back with many more True Tales from Harrods today. It's March, it's official. I've been defeated by Pancake Day and by my children. It happens every year, but we move on. Can you believe it? In a couple of weeks, the clocks will be going forward an hour and spring will officially be on the way. Time really does fly, especially when you're having fun. Talking of food and fun, our guest today is the wonderful Linda Kudjo. Linda's been at Harrods for over 3 years as Head of Food Safety and Technical and describes her role as being the conscience of the company by ensuring the maintenance, the safety, the legality, the integrity and quality for all our Harrods own label and made in-house products. It sounds like an incredibly unique role and we can't wait to find out everything about it. So let's get started. Good morning, Linda. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you, Viv, and how are you?
Yeah, really good. I'm so happy to be sat here with you. It feels like a long time coming. And so I'm really happy you're able to join us this morning. Would you mind, just to get us out the blocks, Linda, I've touched on your role quite briefly, but would you mind adding some meat onto the bones for us and telling us a little bit about what you do here at Harrods?
Certainly, and thank you very much. I am absolutely delighted to be here and to have the opportunity to talk to you about my role at Harrods.
Great.
Because I think that the world of food science, food technology and food safety is one that is almost like it's unknown, pretty much. And it's always a pleasure of mine to have the microphone and tell people the wonderful stuff
Brilliant.
About food science.
Oh, well, I'm pleased to hear it.
Yes. So, yes, basically, I look after the food science, the food safety and technical departments. And our central function, as you've already said, Viv, is to ensure that the food that we sell in our food halls and restaurants is safe, it's legal, and it's of integrity. And what does that mean? The food safety legislation requires two things of all food producers. Food should not cause harm and injury. That means food should not cause any illness.
Uh-huh.
And food should also not cause people to choke, grazes, cuts, burns.
Uh-huh.
The second thing that is required of us is that food should not be misleading. And what that means is the food should actually do what it says on the tin. So we work closely with a commercial team to ensure that suppliers that they propose to partner with have the correct systems, the procedures to meet legislative requirements.
Such an important team, isn't it? Such a critical team that perhaps not many people know much about actually the depth and breadth of what you do.
Absolutely. We're seen very much as the men in white coats holding the clipboards. Actually, what we do is a lot more than that. And I say every day that we are actually value adding to a business and not a service department.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm very keen that we're seen in that light.
Yeah.
Yeah. And why do I say that? Basically, we strip down what we do into four basic pillars.
Uh-huh.
And these pillars are having the right supplier base.
Yep.
Having the best quality product that is safe, having integrity, and our technical academy.
Okay.
So I'm going to go through each of those and try and articulate what we do.
Okay, perfect.
A factory approval involves more than just reviewing the systems and procedures in the factory in the context of the ability to produce safe food and legal food. It is about having a view on the suitability of a company, whether they share our values,
uh-huh.
whether they are a good cultural fit,
yeah.
whether they have the capacity, and indeed whether they actually can be bothered to do business with us.
Yeah.
Now, the second pillar
yeah.
is about what we call raising the bar on quality.
Mm-hmm.
You might be thinking, what does the food safety team have to do with quality? We have a lot to do with quality. Now, there is, what I always say is safety is non-negotiable. Quality is negotiable.
Mm. But not arguably not for a brand like Harrods.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For a brand like Harrods, where we want to be the home of fine food and drink in London, quality is not negotiable.
And Harrods has always been synonymous with
Absolutely.
Quality.
we command that position in the industry. That fact alone makes us very vulnerable.
Yeah.
The brand and our heritage and our reputation has been built over 175 years. It just takes one blunder to wash all of that down the drain.
Yeah.
And actually, that is why I feel that our role and my department actually is so, so important in the life of a company of this nature. There can be no compromise on safety and quality.
Absolutely.
And how do we do that? Now, quality comes in a number of ways. It's all about sourcing the best ingredients all over the world, looking after those ingredients, combining them in the right way, in the right format, and preserving them to give us the products that we have on our shelves and keep them at optimum condition until our customer takes them home and eats them.
So that's a huge weight of responsibility on you and the team, isn't it? It's a really...
That is what keeps me awake at night.
Yeah,
yes.
I can imagine. And yes. You talked earlier, Linda, about being the people in white coats.
Yeah.
And you talk a lot about, you know, chemistry, and I'm always impressed by your knowledge of all things biology and chemistry. But is it true you, I'm just thinking about how your interests or, and who you are has led up to this moment. Is it true, talking of white coats, that you wanted to be a doctor once upon a time?
Yes, absolutely I did. I wanted to be a doctor and I had no plan B. So my life was all get through your A-levels, get to med school and be a doctor. And my plan just fell to pots.
Why did it fall to pots?
I think it was a little bit of complacency because I was very sure through my life, right through from primary school, I was the one who would be going at that stage to collect all the prizes. So I think that got me quite cocky and that made me too sure of myself. So yes, my A-levels didn't quite get to where it was supposed to be. But then I still thought, my father's a pro vice chancellor of a university. He's going to get me into medical school. He went, oh no. No, I'm not. For two reasons.
No, Linda.
It's not happening, no. For two reasons. A, I was younger than my year group. So he said, you have time. If you're that interested in medicine, repeat the A-levels and earn your way there. Because the fact that I'm where I am doesn't mean that you can sweep your way anywhere. I won't do it for Joe Blocks. I'm not doing it for my daughter. My father was one of very high integrity.
Yeah.
And actually, he has been my mentor.
Oh.
And so, yes, and I was determined that I was not going to repeat the year. So I was going to go into university.
So what did you do instead?
I did biological sciences for the first year and then went into biochemistry and food science. So my degree actually is biochemistry and food science. It was a double honors degree.
Oh, I see. So that has brought you to where you are today. And
yes.
So how could you mind telling us a bit about your career? So after graduating, what was the story from there?
After graduating, I came to England. My graduation, my first degree was actually in University of Ghana.
Oh, wow.
I came to England and I went to Sainsbury's actually. That was in Edgware. And I said to the HR manager, I'm looking for a job. And she went, okay, what do you want to do? And I said, I'm on holiday for now until I decide what I want to do. This is my CV. I'm a food science graduate, but I'll just stack shelves at night until I've sorted just for some money. And she went, no, you won't. She went, no, you won't and no, you can't. So essentially, she got me into the head office, got me an interview, and that's where it all started.
Oh, that's brilliant. She sounds like a real door opener.
Absolutely, she was. Absolutely.
She spotted some talent when she saw it, clearly.
I think she did.
Yeah.
I think she spotted that talent and she also thought that, I had something to offer and she wanted to give me the opportunity. So I am ever so grateful to her.
So your holiday became living here?
Yes.
Yeah, wow. And and you've been here ever since?
And I have been here ever since, yes. And that was 32 plus years ago.
Wow.
Yes.
And what appealed to you? So you've been with Harrods 3 years, is that right? What appealed to you about joining Harrods, Linda?
I think it's a very interesting question. In 2016, actually, I did some consultancy work for Harrods. It was a 3-month piece of consultancy. And I actually thought, interesting company, lovely company, good values. But even at that point, I was quite happy consulting because I'd been doing that for 13 years.
So just working for yourself independently?
Working for myself independently, yes. And so I actually was not looking at all to leave that because I had my freedom. I had my holidays free and I thought, I'm having a good time.
3 wonderful children to look after as well.
Absolutely. And they were the reason, actually, I opted for consultancy after working for Sainsbury's for 10 years. And so 3 years later, this was November 2018, I had a phone call from April Preston. And she said, I was giving your name as a recommendation and I wondered whether you would like to come and head up the new merged food safety and technical teams. Now, I thought that was very interesting because in my before I left after my 3-month stint, I'd given some feedback to Alex Downer, who was the head of commercial then. So I came in, and this was December 2018, met Chris D, who was the director then. And in about June, July, Chris started talking to me about making it permanent. But I think by that time, I was well into Harrods. I loved my team.
Yeah.
And there were quite a lot of initiatives that I had started. So put it this way, I was persuaded to stay.
And you probably felt invested by this point.
Well, I did. I did. And I liked the culture of the company. I liked what the company was trying to do. And I felt that I had quite a bit to contribute in the journey of
definitely.
The company. Yes.
Definitely. And as you look back over the past 3 years in terms of those contributions, what are you most proud of? It sounds like you've done an incredible amount in a relatively short period of time.
I think that in the 3 years, we've built a credible food safety technical department, a department that really is adding value, not only are the team almost technical admins or admins to the division, they actually are a value-added, credible team making a real difference.
Yeah.
As I said, we are opening doors and the publishing of the Food Safety Quality Management System, I think, is a very, very big step in the right direction. We also, in March of the same year, that was 2019, run the first ever technical conference for all our suppliers, and the feedback was amazing.
Well, can we talk about sustainability,
absolutely,
Linda? So clearly a huge priority for Harrods and obviously for you and the team. How does that show up for you guys? What are the priorities for you?
I mean, the priorities, as I've said, is to maintain a transparent supply chain with a known chain of custody right along the route. Because if you take a product, say bulk standard orange juice from a supermarket shelf, that orange juice may be made from oranges made in about 50 farms scattered in, say, Central America, for argument's sake. Those oranges are consolidated and they're juiced. And in juicing, the orange is concentrated and the volatiles are removed and the juice is separated.
What's a volatile?
It's the flavor compounds that give the orange juice the flavor.
Okay.
Those go separately, separate ways.
Yeah.
To reduce the bulk of shipping. Otherwise, you're shipping water.
Ah.
So it may come from Central America to, say, Europe.
Yeah.
And they're put back together.
Yeah.
But in putting them back together, you have a whole different set of oranges coming back together. You lose traceability, is the point I'm trying to make.
I see.
Now, what we are trying to do is, because of where we're pitched, we are simple. We deal with as short a chain as possible. We know where everything comes from.
Yep.
And we make sure that we maintain that chain. And by the way, we don't sell bulk standard juices. We sell whole fruit juices that don't go through a sterilization or a concentration. We use what I call high-pressure pasteurization process. And what that is it allows us to process at very low temperature and keep all the attributes. What that means is that we're not using concentrate, so we don't fall into that trap of losing traceability.
I see.
Of our product. So essentially, with sustainability, the core things are keep traceability of product, know where your product comes from, also know how your product is made. And when I say how the product is made, I'm talking about how the cocoa beans are grown, where they're grown, how they are maintained and brought over. We're talking here about carbon credits. We're talking here about being kind to the environment, soil depletion. It's farming methods.
Wow. It's so far-reaching, isn't it?
It absolutely is. It is the farming methods used to make sure that crop is sustainable year after year after year after year. So if you take our cocoa beans from the Solomon Islands, for example, this is an island made from volcanic soil, very rich in nutrients, very sparsely populated. The cocoa is grown under the shade of the coconut trees. What that means is that the whole ecosystem allows for soil regeneration, so there is hardly any use of fertilizers, for example.
I see.
So by default, we can claim organic because we don't use fertilizers in our cocoa. The other thing is that it is an island, the Solomon Islands, obviously. The coconut that is harvested, the husk is used for fuel to power the boats that take the cocoa beans across to the main island for shipping out into Europe.
So there's a story there in terms of...
There is an absolute story there.
Yeah.
Now, the beauty of that also is because we have that direct relationship with the farms, the money that we pay, and we're paying something around four times the market commodity price for cocoa, and it goes directly to the farmer.
I see.
So we have a lovely, lovely story there.
Yeah.
In fact, with our single estate being the original owners of the farm are retiring and they're passing on the farm. So William and Mary are passing on the farm to another set of ladies who are going to pick up and move from there. So we actually know them by name and you see their photographs on our current bars. So the photographs will be changing.
With the new owners.
Absolutely.
That's so lovely how a kind of big global brand like Harrods is, you know, has such a kind of family orientation in terms of suppliers and partners and the provenance of product.
Absolutely. And there's a similar story with tea. Because again, and remember when
tea is where it all started, Linda, for Harrods.
Absolutely. In 1849.
Yeah.
That's where it started. Absolutely. And you know, when we talk about sustainability, we often forget that it goes together with ethics. It goes together with labor force, how we treat our labor force.
Yeah, being responsible.
Absolutely. Now, when you go to our tea estates, the main tea estate in India, there is a lovely story of cooperative living where the tea farms actually provide housing for the farm workers. And each set of housing comes with a little allotment of land where they can grow their crops
and food
and their own food and have their animals, their chickens for their eggs. And when they retire, they get to keep their properties.
That's so good.
So it is homes for life. And again, this is the kind of company that we like to work with.
Yeah.
Yes, there's the ingredient side. There's the process side, but there's also practical things like what happens to processed water that is being let back into the natural earth stream, water stream? Is it cleaned before sending back? What is the engagement of our suppliers with, say, the environmental agency? What level of energy do they use? So there's so much more to sustainability than actually where the products come from and also the air miles and recycling of packaging.
Yeah, gosh. Are you a real foodie, Linda? Are you a foodie at home?
I am an absolute foodie.
Are you?
And
what's your favourite food?
Ooh, what is my favourite food? I have several.
Go on.
I have several. I actually am very passionate to Thai food.
Ooh, yummy.
I do love Thai food a lot. I do love Italian. And fortunately, my children are real foodies too.
I was going to ask about them.
They are absolute foodies. And from a very young age, they've been doing MasterChef at home.
Really?
Yeah, which I thoroughly enjoy. The only bit I don't enjoy is having to be a judge.
Well, that is tough. Three children you have, isn't
Three
it?
Three children.
And are they all contributes in the competition MasterChef at
home? Yeah, they make three sets of meals.
Brilliant.
And we've got to sit through and eat all three sets of meals.
And do you judge?
Well, I do judge. And we come to an agreement from the start to say, I will be very honest and I'll be very critical. And if they don't buy into that, then we don't do it. So, yes. But it's interesting that all three of them have their strengths and their strengths are different.
Yeah.
So my son has a knack for flavors. So he combines the most amazing flavors. But in terms of presentation, he's not the best.
Yeah.
So it's easy.
Yeah.
My middle daughter, Leanne.
My friend.
Your friend. She is a fantastic baker.
Is she?
Amazing baker. And she's very good with Asian food. And her sister, Michelle, she is more into Italian. She makes the most amazing ravioli from scratch, makes her own pasta. So lobster and crab ravioli with a fantastic lobster bisque. So they do different things, which is obviously very nice.
Yeah.
But yes, so in terms of what do we eat at home? It ranges.
Yeah.
It ranges from traditional roast through to Asian, through to Italian. It's a very mixed cuisine.
Where do you like to eat in Harrods? Where's your kind of eatery of choice under this roof?
Ooh, that's tough.
You're
going to get me into trouble.
This is political.
This is political. I like all the foods.
Fair enough, Linda. Take the safe space. Thank you so much for sharing, Linda. Now, a lot of our regular listeners will know we like to sometimes do a game with our guests on the podcast. Now, this is something we haven't asked you to prepare for, Linda, but we've got a very special game for you, and it's called Let's Get Technical, Myth or Must.
Okay.
So we're going to put your food science degree to the test now.
Oh, dear.
So
there we go.
So I'm going to ask you a series of tenuously food safety questions, okay. Tenuously food safety related questions. And we want you to answer if these are myth or must.
Okay.
So are you ready?
I am.
So I'm going to start with something that I probably say on a daily basis in my house, the 5 second rule. It's okay to eat food you've dropped on the floor as long as you pick it up within 5 seconds and the dog doesn't get to it. Is that myth or must, Linda?
I would say it's a myth.
I would say it's a myth as well. Yes, you're right. That one is a myth, Linda. Well done. The second one, soaps or detergents can linger on foods and aren't safe for consumption. Using clean running water is the best way to remove bacteria and wash products safely. Is that a myth or a must?
I would say, actually, it's a myth. You need the detergent and the sanitizer. The water will wash away some bacteria. It will not inactivate all bacteria.
It's good to know. It's really good to know. Thank you. Yes, absolutely. It's a must. This one intrigues me. You must wait for food to completely cool before putting it in the fridge. Is that a myth or a must, Linda?
It is a must.
It's a must.
It is a must. And the reason we say that, now, food needs to, we have what we call the mesophiles, the danger zone. The danger zone really is that range between 8 degrees and 55 degrees.
Okay.
So the whole point of controlling bacteria, which could cause food poisoning or food spoilage, is to keep it out of that danger zone.
I'm exploring this question because actually I'm very curious about it. Should we, so if we cook a spaghetti bolognese and it's cooling on the side, ready to go in the fridge,
yeah.
Should we try and expedite the cooling process by sticking it in some ice or something?
I do that sometimes.
Oh, do you?
Okay. I do that sometimes. Because actually what we do, and actually the procedures we work with here in Harrods,
yeah.
And the general food industry guidelines is you need to cool food down within 90 minutes.
Oh, that's great to know.
So I actually do, when I want to cool down very quickly, just put in a basin of water with some ice.
Okay, well, I'm going to do that because I just let it sit there for probably about 3 hours. A couple more for you. After the best before date, you can't eat it.
You can.
You can. Okay.
You absolutely can. Best before is really for quality.
Okay.
All it means is that after this date, product will not be optimum, so your biscuit might not be crunchy.
Okay.
It may not taste as good, but there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. What you cannot erode is the use-by.
Okay.
That is a legal cutoff.
Okay. And
if you eat food beyond the use-by, it could make you ill.
Okay. I'm going to tell my mum that because she constantly encourages me not to do that. And she's always making me eat food after it's used-by. Perhaps she's trying to tell me something.
Well, well she might well be, Viv.
But I had to reflect on that.
A lot of, I don't know whether I should say this in podcast, but a lot of products, because of the sensitivity of food and the capacity to make people ill or even kill, there is a bit of tolerance allowed in setting the use by.
Okay.
So there is some grace in there, provided it's not abused. However, I will not be quoted as saying you can erode the use-by date. The legal requirement is you do not erode a use-by date.
Okay.
Because it can make you ill or even kill.
Okay. Thank you, Linda. And finally, my daughter's favourite food, melon. You should wash a melon under running tap water while rubbing by hand or scrubbing with a clean brush before you eat the inside. That sounds really random. Is that true? Should we do that?
Well, I would wash it over under running water, but not necessarily scrub. I would wash it. And I'll tell you why. When you go out onto the farm, the melon is in contact with the soil. The soil actually holds a lot of bacteria. Because remember that it's open. There are birds flying over. There might be some animals around. It might be near a river and there may be a flood. So within that soil, there's quite a lot of nasties in there.
Yeah.
There's Listeria, there's E. coli, there's coliforms from the waste of animals. So the outside could be quite dirty, even though it may not be visual. That when you cut that melon with a knife, you could, if it's contaminated on the outside, transfer that contamination from the knife into the tissues on the inside.
Ah.
And that's where the problem is.
Ah.
So yes, washing is a good idea.
It all makes sense now. Thank you so much for letting us put you on the spot there, Linda.
Did I pass your test then?
Absolutely. You need to be writing the test. But I really do want to do more myth busting with you in the future because I think certainly I personally would benefit from that and I've definitely learned something new. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I could talk to you or listen to you more to the point all day long. So it's been really fascinating for me personally. So thank you for being so candid and sharing in such eloquent detail.
And thank you for inviting me, Bip. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks, Linda. That brings us to the end of this episode of the True Tales from Harrods podcast. A big thank you to Linda for sharing so much insight into what she does and all the exciting projects she has going on and doing some myth busting, of course, with us. If you've not done so already, then please go back and discover previous episodes and please do subscribe if you'd like to receive more episodes as soon as they become available. As always, thank you so much for listening. I'll be back with a very special guest next month. Lots of love from me, Viv.